All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for the fearless Dave Dubois. And have you ever wondered how someone turns sacrifices into success in real estate? Today, I'm joined by Art Kitchener, a Central Alberta investor. From tackling tenant challenges to building generational wealth, Art is going to share his journey and strategies as he's been able to scale up in the real estate game. Welcome to the show, Art. How are you?
Hey man, doing great. Thanks. Thanks for the intro. Let's appreciate it.
Well, you know, the generic question everyone always asks at the networking event is, you know, how did you get started in real estate? So let's take everybody that's listening along. How did you get started?
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. Kind of started about 7 years ago, more or less by accident, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of always thought real estate was a good idea, but didn't really know what I was doing, you know. So we just I bought a place, a little townhouse, kind of rented out with some friends, and eventually my wife and I we bought it like another place, and then rented that one out instead, and just kept it going, and kind of just trial and error, you know, just kind of learned the hard way, a couple of things, a couple tenant mishaps here and there, but a couple holes in the wall, but you know, we just kept going, and I learned, you know, every year a little more, and kind of got to where I am today. So yeah.
Yeah, that's that tenant energy, doors, drawers, and holes in the wall. But you know, it's kind of like a rented car, the same way that like you get that rented car and you might push the pedal a little bit when you don't own something. I remember the kids in high school when they got their car and they were 16 and they don't own it. And they're playing bumper cars behind the high school, you know, like they're banging these 94 tempos together and stuff. So I think that goes hand to hand with tenancies, but there certainly is a lot of equity and wealth benefits from owning these things despite the challenges. So you've owned these properties now for the good part of, I guess, 5 years.
Yeah, kind of just in the last little recent, I'd say about 3 years, we kind of just surrounded. Got some education first, and surrounded ourselves with that people, you know, that knew a lot more than I did, you know, and I joined some mastermind groups, and they kind of really accelerated my learning. And yeah, we bought like, I'd say, four more properties in that time span. And yeah, just kind of like with kind of the equity we had in our townhouse, plus some, you know, just some savings we had, we were able to scale up in the last 3 years. So yeah, I think definitely just putting myself around those kind of people, and then kind of put myself out there in those situations, like definitely helped me, you know, learn a lot and increase my growth a lot. So yeah, it's been great.
So that is like a pretty common strategy, especially when you're moving from like a couple units to a few more, to gather up your winnings and take your treasure to the bank and say, I'd like four more, please. So what's your strategy right now? Like, what are you working on these days as far as what the next step is for your business?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, like the game of Monopoly, right? Like, you know, trade in your four greenhouses for your red hotel kind of thing. So yeah. Well, I mean, I'm working kind of with my brother at the moment, and we just kind of like started a development journey, registered for a course, and we're kind of like, just our kind of main goal is to develop like a sixplex, eightplex or something on an infill, or yeah, a new construction, that type of thing, as a purpose-built rental. And yeah, that's kind of like our next step, but which involves, you know, a lot of also learning, you know, trying to raise capital, that kind of thing. And yeah, just at the moment trying to get all the ducks in order at this point. So
yeah, it seems like you're, you know, a beneficiary already of some education, and you're not afraid to go and get some more to make sure that you're doing it right the first time, which is, you know, I think pretty big.
Yeah.
Most people shy away from that, usually because of the investment. But in real estate, it's interesting when you look at, you know, let's say you go to do this like weekend thing, and the band's in town and they're doing their show, right? And whoever's in town to do their seminar or whatever, and they're like $2,500 a ticket. And you're like, oh, that's a lot. But in real estate, $2,500 doesn't buy a deposit. Like, it does not even fix a kitchen.
That's true.
So when you look at that investment, anyone listening along at home, really weigh the size of your investment against the results that you're looking for. Because if you're saying, oh, I'm going to get 20 houses, I'm going to build a sixplex, for instance, what's the sixplex going to be worth, let's say, if you actually put that thing together and after planning and permits and all that, and you get the people in there, what do you project that that thing is going to be worth?
Yeah, like our estimate right now, just rough cost. Depends where we would either build. Like, my brother's in Edmonton and I'm in Red Deer, so we're trying to just leverage maybe either of those markets or both, depending on what we can accomplish. But yeah, we're looking kind of a ballpark range, from 1.5 to 2 million. So that's kind of our target, which would be like end completion cost and what the property would be worth, we think, then when it's all said and done. So yeah,
Yeah, and
obviously
when
we would,
you, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
oh yeah, we wouldn't be putting that kind of capital down. We'd be looking to kind of leverage the MLI Select program, which is kind of a new thing in Canada, where the government kind of essentially is looking to increase density in housing. So they're allowing, like, you can get in to this program for as little as 5% down on a new build construction. So yeah, it's kind of an exciting opportunity, and we're trying to like capitalize on that.
Yeah, a lot of successful people I've interviewed on the show have been able to get their start in these multifamily and developments utilizing all these different programs. Like sometimes people don't actually look under the hood to see, like, do I have to, actually put out all this money? Because there's a good amount of money that needs to be deployed when doing new construction. Like even 5% of, let's say, $1 million is still some amount of money. So when you look at it, you say, is there a way that, because without that program, you'd likely have to bring like
Yeah,
commercial,
2020.
maybe 20 or 30%. So now
Totally.
we're talking about $300,000 of capital, which is in the game of capital, it isn't huge, but it is still an amount of money that you don't have to bring should you utilize like loans and other types of programs to kind of collapse that capital time frame. Now, Robert Kiyosaki talks about this a lot. He calls it the unfair advantage. What would you say comes easy to you guys that, other people might find difficult to do?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe just I'm a firefighter, paramedic, during the day, real estate investor by night. But I would say just, I think I'm used to putting in long hours and
That
just,
interesting.
like just get her done kind of type attitude, where I don't mind putting in the extra work. And sometimes you just have to suffer a little bit to get the outcome that you want, right? So I think, yeah, maybe call that stubbornness, maybe call that, I don't know.
Hard
Yeah,
work.
my wife would maybe could chime in on that, but
It
yeah,
sounds like hard work to me. I mean, it's
yeah.
interesting. I ask that question a lot because a lot of people don't sit and maybe think about it, but it doesn't take more than 30 seconds for people to go, it's the fact that I don't give up. And you looked into the box and you said, it's the fact that I'm willing to do the work and put in the hours. And that's why I'm a good paramedic. And that's why it's translating into my real estate. So I know a few EMTs and paramedics that are able to do the job because of the shift work too, like a 4 and 4 and stuff like that. Like it's not a conventional, at least the guys that I know, they would do like a 4 on 5 off or a 5 on 4 off, and it gives them the space to actually do the real estate for a week and then go back to work for a week and then back on real estate. And I found that story has bred a lot of successful real estate investors because they do have that runway to really focus and get things done that off week.
Totally, man. Yeah. There's a lot of time that I think I even waste, but yeah, I think a part of it is just eliminating some distraction in your life to kind of be able to focus on those things that are more important. And yeah, try to make the most of like the day. I mean, there's 24 hours, but I mean, a lot of that we need to sleep. But yeah, during the other times, I mean, there's a lot of, where you can capitalize and kind of move your life forward. So yeah, trying to do that. So I don't know.
So
Wish me
let's
luck.
talk. Yeah, I mean, the distraction thing, especially with social media and the infinite scrolling, has really is really trapping a lot of people in my generation specifically. You know, like that dopamine thing can actually undermine your success, because it's easy to find like that sort of feeling a lot quicker than it has ever been. You know, scrolling, oh, that's exciting to me. I like that video. It was funny. And
Totally.
you, it can really pull you away from like doing something maybe more productive. I don't know. Maybe that's all you have to do, and that's fine too. So
Absolutely, man.
how do you eliminate distractions to stay focused?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it's just kind of like setting myself up from success from the beginning. You know, like I don't know, like we just canceled all our TV, so you know, I like watching sports, but I just had to take that out of my life in this time, you know, because you know, I would just be sitting there watching an Oilers game or whatever, you know, and like, man, I could be doing so much
There's
more.
82 of them too, like
That's right. Or baseball, whatever, you name it, man. I could be
157 games or some nonsense, 2-a-days and stuff. Like, yeah, it's
totally,
a
man.
it's the bread and circuses to keep the people happy between their shift work, right?
Hey,
So
man, I
yeah,
understand.
some people love I you know, like if you're in Edmonton and there's a hockey game on, you can't even get business done because everyone's talking about or going to, or every realtor has tickets to. And it, you know, the hockey season here in Winnipeg just shuts the city down. Like if there's a Jets game, forget about it. No showings. People are watching it at home. People are at the game. So yeah,
For sure.
definitely sports can be a huge distraction. And you know, for me, I cut sports out several years ago. I'll watch the odd thing if it's on or if it's on a sports bar, but it seems rather trivial and inconsequential whether someone wins or someone loses. It's like, go home team. You know, the people wearing the city name on my shirt. So
Totally,
yeah, it
man.
seemed rather trivial. I'll go to a game, but that's about as far as my and I don't even know. I'm getting too old. All the hockey players are brand new, and I don't know anybody. So I'm out of touch with the whole thing. But
It's not
I will watch like the Grey Cup, the last big games, you know.
small
So let's
doses.
talk. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about capital and how you were able to put together the portfolio you have now. So there's a lot of leverage. You leveraged your equity and you leveraged what you had to buy more loans. Is that kind of what I'm understanding?
We use kind of like some several different techniques, like the Smith maneuver. I don't know if you heard of that. Just kind of like using equity in your home or other help, like properties to kind of further yourself down the line, and borrowing kind of all within a safe margin, I'd say. But yeah, just kind of spreading yourself out like that, and then along with that, we've got our family involved, like my father-in-law and a mother-in-law, on kind of some two joint venture properties that we were able to kind of purchase together. And kind of my father-in-law brought some good skill sets of like repairing and maintenance to the thing. So we made a good team together where I could put the deal together and we could work together to kind of accomplish what we're looking to do there. So yeah, I think definitely it's like you can't do this alone, right? And it's good to surround yourself with a good team and good people that are looking to accomplish the same goals as you are. So, yeah,
Yeah,
and that's kind
believers too, right? You know, there's some people that don't believe real estate is a thing. So we
for
have to
sure.
surround ourselves with believers. So definitely. Now, you'd mentioned earlier that you had some initial training, that you took some sort of mentorship or something like you'd mentioned. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually I just kind of like when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, like you mentioned there, and kind of opened my eyes to like what was possible, you know. Just really, it didn't kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, man. Like I gotta figure this out. So I just started like connecting with people in my circle, and I found this lady. Her name is Andrea Workington, and she kind of connected me with the real estate investor group, like, and mastermind at the time, and just a bunch of good like-minded people that I met there. And they really just pushed me to kind of step outside my comfort zone and just kept learning and seeing like the possibilities of what people are accomplishing. And that really helped me just kind of eliminate that fear factor. I kind of like maybe get too, I try to make everything perfect before I try to do something, which I think can be a mistake. I think it just sometimes has to be good enough, to, you got to propel yourself forward at some point, right? And I think I still struggle with that problem, but yeah, I think, you got to try to educate yourself as much as you can. I think that's important. But at some point, you just got to jump and you just got to do it, And yeah, I made mistakes and I still do, and I still probably will. But I think that's all part of the learning process, right? And you're not going to get anywhere if you don't try something different. So yeah, that's kind of what motivated me, just to surround my people with, or some, surround myself with people that are, at that level or above me. I love being the dumbest guy in the room. I think I can learn so much from other people that have been there and done that before. So yeah, that's kind of what I continually try to do, is just put myself out there in those situations with people I think I can grow from. So yeah.
Yeah, one thing that's really important, because people, I've been in real estate now since 2015, and people come to me sometimes to lend money. They're like, "Oh, I want to invest in real estate." And I'm
Right.
more of a short-term investor. I find deals for people. I teach people how to find deals. That's more my thing. And so whenever I'm directing money, because people are like, "Okay, then where should I put it?" It's really important to me that the investors that I recommend are people who take the research as far as yourself. I don't want to put money in the hands of gunslingers who are just doing deals to be doing deals. I'd rather, the biggest thing is like, what's their process for analyzing deals? And, I'd rather an over analytic person rather than like a, someone who's just going out there to do deals for the sake of deals. So
Totally.
when you were reaching out to prospective investors, like in your network, especially with this sixplex, what's been the reception of the idea with the people that are in your close network?
Yeah, honestly, I think they're pretty gung-ho and they're excited about that, the potential on that. But it also comes with a level of fear, maybe in myself, because I take like that very seriously. I think, you can lose your own money, and that's one thing, but like having somebody else's capital, that's a whole nother level, right? Like, it's just not okay to lose their money or their take a big risk with somebody else's capital that they hard-earned money, right? So I think that's really important for me, just to do my due diligence to like the most I can to put ourselves in the best position, before we execute. But yeah, I take it very seriously, and I think people are like, that's well accepted. They understand that.
Eliminate as much risk as possible.
Exactly. We're there to get the best out of that for their outcome as well. So
So when you're doing deals, are you more of a find the deal and then go look for the money, or do you prefer to have the capital lined up and then go look for some deals?
yeah, man, good question. And yeah, I think it's like the jockey before the horse, right? You kind of need both at the same time. So I don't know. My outcome is yeah, just continually talk to people, telling them what we're doing, and I think it's important. It's kind of almost happens simultaneously, because you need a good deal to raise capital, but then you also need capital to get the good deal, right? So I think it's just important to, yeah, I've been trying to just talk to people, tell them what we're doing, and then hopefully when that opportunity comes along, can maybe schedule a meeting with them, and we can just tell them what our process is about, and if they're into it, like, it's go time, like, let's make it happen. So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know if I answered your question, but
Yeah, definitely.
yeah.
Well, a lot of people will say a deal or they'll say money first, but more and more, especially in a portfolio such as yours, they say both, because it's a matter of, you're right, it's a matter of having a deal worth investing in and then also sorting out the capital, either before or after, or having those conversations, because you're looking, a lot, your partnerships is primarily with yourself and inside the family right now. in a long-term way, you know, the joint ventures and stuff. Like you're expecting 5 and 10 year and 15 year people to be in on this, and especially if you're going into like the multifamily space, you know, what type of investor are you looking for? Short-term investors, long-term investors?
So we're just basically we're looking for somebody that would want to become equity partners with us. We're in it for the long term, like my brother and I. When we do build this sixplex, it's not like a get rich quick kind of scheme. It's kind of like a get rich for sure thing over a period of time. That's how we see it, you know. But I think we need to let time do its thing for sure. So, but yeah, like we're kind of trying to make money in real estate in like I guess three main ways would be our ideal, you know. One, appreciation, like two, like mortgage pay down, and then like three would be, you know, like tax benefits and that kind of thing. And yeah, what else? That's kind of like the three main things. So
Well,
yeah.
it's your perspective's interesting because you do have a job that you do, and it sounds like you must love it because you didn't even talk about the optional fact that there's cash flow from these things. You know, it's
That's
not
right.
it wasn't even something that you're living on because you're like, I'm trying to build wealth, long-term wealth, partnership wealth, and it wasn't like I'm sure yes, cash flow, there's probably cash flow in doing something like that.
Totally.
But you know that wasn't that it's interesting that it didn't necessarily come up in your top three because really it shows me that wealth and partnership is really what you're looking for. So you know when people are looking to invest significant capital with someone, you know, let's say they're putting down a couple hundred thousand, they typically want to know you, they want to like you, they ultimately want to then trust you. What are some different ways, whether it's social media or networking and things like that, that you're doing to kind of build your positioning in the real estate environment?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just trying to network with like-minded people, go to some events that, you know, whether it's real estate or not, business related, just try to talk to other people that are trying to, you know, further their lives and, you know, get something more out of life, you know. Yeah, I think we, you know, we're only here for a brief period of time, right? And yeah, I think just trying to connect with those people that want to further their life and, you know, leave some kind of legacy maybe to their children or whatever. Yeah, just looking to have a conversation with those people that kind of maybe would like to use real estate to, you know, further their goals and dreams, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, that's kind of like the major factor there. Yeah, that
Awesome,
way.
awesome. So if people want to connect with you, they want to reach out, find out more about what it is you're doing and what's happening in the future, how do they connect with you? What should they do?
Yeah, they can definitely just reach out to me on social media or Facebook or you know, my they can contact me by email. It's artkitchener@yahoo.ca. Yeah, give me a chat anytime and love to connect. So that'd be great. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate the time. I think people are really going to get a lot out of that mindset around like the hardworking particular framework, and maybe we can get some more EMTs and professionals that got the four on four off split to grab some of this wealth that's out there right now. You know, it's out there.
Totally, man. That'd be great. Yeah. Thanks for the
Awesome.
podcast, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.